B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a first question about Cam. I know he left last week. Do you have an injury update on it? Is he out there, and how is he progressing from that end injury that he suffered last Friday?
He's doing all right. He won't participate today, but you know he's getting better.
So nothing serious?
No. Well, he's not out there, so but he'll I think he'll be all right. Yeah.
What has your mindset been like this week with Cam out? What's the mindset as you look to make the most of this opportunity, maybe with a little more action?
It doesn't really change. I mean, for me, it's just about me getting better, and it's not being selfish or anything, but I have a lot of room to grow, and I have to, you know, make strides every day and kind of have two buckets where, you know, the things I know keep in one bucket, and the things that I keep messing up or the things I'm not getting, I have to put them in another bucket and figure out what's wrong. So I just kind of got to take that approach and learn from, you know, all the quarterbacks. So it's not just me, and learn from the older guys on the team and watch them practice and learn how to practice the best way I can so that when we get to the games, it'll be easier.
Okay, there's Bill Belichick and Mac Jones, your number one pick and the heir apparent at quarterback. So Bill Belichick confirms Cam Newton is out. And I don't know why we keep calling it a bruised thumb. Don't you think it's a lot more than that, Mass?
Yes, I do. And what I don't understand is with all the rumors that have been out there about how Newton got this, that there may have been an incident at a restaurant, he was with family, and has someone checked that out?
Oh, no, we don't do that here anymore.
Has someone checked that out? Like,
No.
Because apparently, if this thing did go down the way it said, that there were police there. So shouldn't there be some sort of record of it?
Is that true that there was...
I thought so. Jones, did you read that too?
No.
I thought that there were either police outside that were had to intervene in the event or, like, you know, so I'll read it again. I thought I read that last week.
Maz, the days when, you know, in our day, Jones, when the Bob Sales would send us to go stake out the restaurant and, you know, grab waitresses and waiters walking into the restaurant to try and figure out what was going on, we'd have to sit out there for two straight days trying to grab busboys coming out of the restaurant.
Dictate your story by verbatim over the phone. He's entering the restaurant. Stop.
We don't do that anymore. All we do is... What we do is wait for the team to tell us what to ask at a Zoom press conference call and then ask the question. No one tries to make these teams look bad or find out what really happened.
It's unbelievable.
That's not seriously.
And if you're going to ask a hard question, they just don't call on you on Zoom.
Yeah. So this is what I mean. That's long ago. So either way, bone bruise.
Yeah. And how
did it really happen? Like, well, that's going to piss the team off. So why? You know, I mean, we're not going to go there. But either way, you know, he's out. So it's. I mean, it was real. The thing that happened last week, and you're making it up now. Well, he's still out. And reps are being taken, and we're getting closer to a mandatory mini camp and closer to the real training camp and presumably a quarterback competition, and Cam Newton is not out there to take any reps. I still find that significant. So, Mac Jones is next up, right? Wrong. What happened today out at camp, Jones?
Okay, well, in terms of the quarterbacks, Tom Curran says the quarterback reps almost always in drills went Stidham, Hoyer, Jones. There's been a little bit of pushback here. Jeff Howe does say that Mac Jones was 6-for-8 and looked better today. He went third in all but one period, but that's deceiving because he spent quite a bit of time with and against starters. The defense threw a lot at him, too, with sub-package formations. Bill Belichick clearly working him, Howe writes. And Curran actually wrote something similar in terms of checking down and processing. He says Jones, as one would expect, still very much in the processing stage. When the faster reps come, he's taking checkdowns often.
But the point being, Mac Jones went third, but it was with ones.
Higher degree of difficulty.
So
And starters out there with him and against him, yes.
Yeah, so Bill's sort of, obfuscating or whatever that word is.
No, you got it right. Yeah. Deceiving.
Yeah, he's third. He's working his way up, but we're going to get him work with the real guys because we're really working him. So I don't know. How do you read all that?
I read it just what you said, that Bill's leaving the door open for Mac Jones to jump in because he doesn't have confidence in the guys before him. That's what I would say. That, again, well, Newton's not, and I mean Stidham and Hoyer. That's what I mean.
Do you have Stidham any chance?
Sure.
I do.
No.
Yeah.
I do.
No.
Sure I do.
I do.
No.
Yeah, you never know with a young player. He's only 2 years in. So now
I'll tell you this. I've done research on this. The track record on guys who do not get into a game and start a game the first 2 years in the NFL is not great for guys who were drafted where he was.
Aaron Rodgers.
I just said drafted where he was. Aaron Rodgers, pretty good. He's a first-round pick who could have gone first overall. It's a little different than a guy who went in the fourth round. Garoppolo's pretty good. Other than that, it's a short list.
So, Joe,
know, like maybe Tyrod Taylor. Like, other than, there's not a lot of quarterbacks in the last, you know, 10, 15 years who have done that.
So, Pac-Man, when you say, again, don't confuse with do I give him a chance with I think he's going to
play. Yeah, you think he'll be the guy, no, right?
You're right. I'm handicapping Bill's decision-making.
Yeah, I'm still saying no chance.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit.
No, me neither.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Surprise me a lot of bits.
I don't rule it out. Again, I'd call it like 10% or something, but Bill, I don't rule it out.
Jones, you don't think Bill would love to do something like that?
Why did he do it last year?
Because it was people were expecting him to do it. You know, after all that offseason hype and how they pumped him up again to the guys that cover the team.
Yeah, he's already got enough stuff people don't expect him to do. He brought back his whole stupid quarterback room. So he's already got that. He drafted a quarterback in the first round. He can already get his jollies off doing that another way. He doesn't need to do that with Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, he loves to find convention. You know he does, Jones. You know he loves, you know, tweaking, just making a move where everyone says, what are you doing? Oh, you know, that's right up his alley. And would not surprise me one bit. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if Stidham shows. You know, this to me is the significance of the Cam Newton injury, where if Cam Newton were here, right, it's Cam Newton, it's Mac Jones, and I mean, we heard when Cam Newton was healthy 2 weeks ago, what was Bedard, a couple of guys tweeted it or wrote it, Stidham feels like an afterthought here. You know, fourth, not getting any real reps, sort of on the periphery, he just feels like an afterthought. A couple people said that, just watching one camp practice when Cam Newton was out there. Now Cam Newton's not out there, and he's getting the first turn. So he's getting an opportunity that he never would have gotten.
He was 11 of 14 today, by the way.
So, okay. And if he plays well, you don't think Bill would get off on showing the world, I developed another guy, here we go, I drafted this guy?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It took longer than expected, but here we are. Oh, Jones, come on.
No, that he just burned his first-round pick for nothing.
Well, but he doesn't care about that. You expect me to play. You all expect me to play the first rounder. I'm going to play who gives us the best chance to win. I actually like that philosophy, but I'm thinking more like he just likes to outsmart everybody and be one step ahead and screw guys like you, Jones.
Yeah, well, he won big time last year, didn't he? 7-9.
I'm not telling you it's right or it's going to work.
Well, here's the other thing that I wonder, just as a quick aside, that if, let's say, Newton can't start the year, and again, that's probably untrue, but just work with me. Well, you have this guy take the bullet for 4 weeks. Brady comes in, kicks his ass, and then you put Jones in week five.
And that's another one.
So I disagree with this, too.
Go ahead.
You think he wants to lose to Brady?
Oh, I think he's going to lose to Brady.
I think he wants to go down with his best quarterback. I think the last thing he wants to do this year is lose to Brady.
Yeah, he's not going to play Mac Jones.
I think Mac Jones is starting that game.
I don't.
Because he's not going to roll out someone like Jarrett Stidham just to get bombarded by Tom Brady and lose 42-7 or something like that. He's not going to do that.
Yeah, he won't put Jones out there. He's going to protect him.
Oh, I think Jones will be there.
It'll be Newton in all probability. But anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Meanwhile, you think Cam Newton's going to give Mac Jones the ass like Brady gave Garoppolo the ass, or is he going to be a nice mentor to the rookie quarterback?
Oh, no, he'll be a nice mentor.
Turns out, of course, and this is the last time I'm going to mention this because I'm going to do it to mock it, but the stupid ass nickname game from Cam Newton, you all can do on your own time on your effing Instagram feed.
They're pretty clever, though.
You freaking children, okay? But he's got a nickname for him. Can you guess what it is?
Yeah, no, I know already.
Jones, do you know what it is?
Mac Jones.
Okay, it's not. Give me number two. Number two. Yes, give me number two, Stu. Please.
Do-do-do.
I'll have a side of...
Do-do-do-do-do. It's what my 9-year-old orders almost every time she's out to dinner with us.
Yeah, you get it with ribs.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, no,
what's been your relationship with Cam Newton been like so far? How helpful has he been to you individually?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, he calls me mac and cheese.
Oh,
I
got my nickname. Oh, so cool. He calls him mac and cheese. Yay. Oh, yay. Did you see he's got a new nickname, everybody. Oh, there's going to be headlines I can feel on Boston.com right now. Mac Jones, new nickname from Cam Newton. Oh, isn't that so funny? Wee! He calls him mac and cheese. Oh, he calls his coach Dollar Bill. He's so cool. Oh, it's so fun.
I thought it was Dollar Bill.
It's so fun. What did I say? I thought it was Dollar Bill. Whatever. Oh, my God. The nicknames. The Cam Newton nickname game. Oh, God. This is what we do now in the print media. We repeat Cam Newton's nickname.
Doughboy.
For his coach and his receiver. And in the back of corner, that's so fun. Sausage emoji. but no, he might have hurt his hand in a scuffle off campus in a restaurant in town where there was a big scene and cops. Is anyone going to check that out? No, instead, oh, he calls him mac and cheese. That's so funny. I guarantee there's going to be a headline at Boston.com on that. There's got to be. NBC Sports Boston, there's got to be a headline. Cam Newton's nickname for Mac Jones. Oh, it's so clever.
Yeah, he calls him mac and cheese.
Oh, my God.
He calls him Whopper.
It sounded like Mac Jones liked it, though.
Of course he did. Oh, the grab-assery. Let's just all grab ass.
Instead of Big Mac, he calls him quarter pounder.
I'd take mac and cheese over D-head.
I prefer pecker face. And Mac Jones did speak today. Like, it's all the same. Like, they didn't need to program this kid. You know he came in pre-programmed. You know he was one of those. Give me number one, Jimmy. Give me Mac Jones number one, if we could.
Just how much progress do you feel like you're making at this point of OTAs? You've been here for about a month now. Do you feel that continued progress?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. But honestly, you just got to take it day by day and don't look forward to tomorrow. And don't look back at yesterday. You just be where your feet are. And, you know, I've got a chance to meet and obviously be with all the rookies. And that's been a lot of fun. And we're kind of all going through it. And the veteran players are all setting the example. So we're all just trying to be the best Patriots we can be.
Oh, God. I can't. Yeah, stop. I can't take it.
They clearly think highly of this kid because they've already performed the lobotomy.
We are all Patriots.
But I think he comes pre-programmed.
Oh, for sure. But again, he's still got to go through their specific conditioning program. He's got to go through their, you know, again, deprogram the board, the waterboarding, the whole nine yards. And you got to remove his personality and cut part of his brain out. Seriously. They're very serious about this kid, you can tell.
Jones, yeah, it's been good. I mean, he calls me mac and cheese.
That's so funny.
Oh, I get it now.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so cool.
Calls him mac and cheese. So I got my nickname.
He's so cool. It's so cool. What are they called? The cranial cortex or something? They've removed that from his brain.
Okay, well, get ready for this kid to back up Jared Stidham, Jones. It's coming. Back to your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to him.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
95, the Sports Hub.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Ben.
Wanted to ask you about Jared Stidham. He started the offseason as the only quarterback, and then he's seen the team add Cam Newton, Mac Jones, now Brian Hoyer. NFL teams usually don't keep four quarterbacks, so that probably means someone's going to be on the outside looking in. How do you think Jared's handled himself in the competition, handled just being in having a group that size, and do you still have an open mind about Jared Stidham and his future with the team?
Right. Well, the three quarterbacks that were here last year are still here, and we drafted Max, so you know, that is what it is. There's competition at every position. And really, I think, you know, any good professional player, any good football player has basically the same mindset, and that's to go out and improve, you know, his individual performance and, you know, go out there and perform as well as he can. And you can't control what anybody else does. You can control what you do, and you can control your preparation and your attitude and your performance, and that's what you go out and do. That's what every player does or should do. And, you know, Jarrett's done that, and, you know, I'd say so is really pretty much everybody else on the team. That's all you can't control. So go out there and do it.
There's Bill Belichick on the next guy, Jones. And if Jones, I just, again, I'm not like personally vouching for Stidham. I don't know. But if you don't think Bill would get off on Jared Stidham making a big jump and he meaning Belichick, being singularly responsible for it and then showing it to the world, and that Bill wouldn't get off on that possibility, oh, you're freaking nuts.
Yeah, he's just got other ways he could do it. So there's plenty of other ways for him to get his jollies off and not get second-guessed on blowing another first-round pick, which if all of a sudden Jarrett Stidham now is starting over Mac Jones, not Cam Newton, but Jarrett Stidham is starting over Mac Jones, then that's part of the conversation that he's got to deal with too. And you could say he doesn't care about it, but he cares about the drafting conversation.
He does. I don't think that would prove the first-round pick's a bust.
I don't mean you. No, I just mean if already, what'd you have to bring him in for? If the guy who was already on the roster you wouldn't get on the field last year is starting, then what the hell did you draft Mac Jones for?
Well, it's totally reasonable for the rookie not to be ready week one.
Yeah. not in this quarterback room, it's not.
Yeah, Pac-Man, I hear what you're saying, but to me, the bigger point is you're missing the fact that Bill's going to take credit for all of it. Like, Bill's going to take credit for the fact that Stidham can play and that he picked Jones and that everyone else is stupid.
Well,
I mean, to me, that's what, you know, if Stidham pans out, that's good for the Patriots, it's good for Bill. But I don't think it's going to happen either, he'll take credit for it.
I can't believe you guys are already falling into this. It's OTAs and he's completing some passes.
I'm not falling into anything.
You're falling into it.
No.
If you think he has a chance to start, that's falling into it. Even a chance.
10%? 5%?
Too high.
Oh, Jones, I love falling into it at this time of year.
Yeah. I'm not falling for Jarrett Stidham. I fell for it last year. I was told Jarrett Stidham was good last year, and I fell for it. And he apparently stinks. How do we know? Couldn't get on the field last year. So yeah. I don't care that he went 11 for 14 today. I care that Mac Jones is third. That bothers me.
You keep bringing up the stat. I don't care what he was. Like, I don't care about the 11 for 14. I care that he was repping one, and he was getting these opportunities. And I just know Bill's psychology. And I fall for everything at this time of year. That's why this time of year is fun. This is what it's all about. Are you kidding me?
Right, yeah, you fell for Brian Hoyer.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah, that was fun content for a while.
No, sure. I'm all for dissecting and getting into, you know, the depth chart and who they could start. I did that last year with Jarrett Stidham. I'm not doing it again.
Okay, well, then you can do Gunner talk on your own time there, Jones. You enjoy talking about the 3-4 versus the 4-3.
I don't mind talking about quarterbacks. Stidham? Nah.
No. We'll do Gunner talk. Isn't this great? I've turned you into cattle.
Yes.
All right. Well, to the phones. This is one of those where this may be one of these days where the Bruins people just will not relinquish the board, which is fine. It's that kind of day. Go ahead. Have at it. Matt in Tewksbury, what do you got?
What's up, guys? All right. Yeah, I think, Mike, you might have touched on this last night with Tony, but I feel like every time there was a puck that went into a corner, or every time a puck went somewhere, there could be 100 Bruins and one Islanders guy, and the Islander would come away with it. And I feel like this toughness, whatever it is that's causing them not to come away with the pucks, it is what got them in the St. Louis series against them. Don't you feel kind of like this Islanders team was reminiscent a little bit of the Blues
sure.
team where
well,
they were big, they were tough, and they beat the Bruins to everything?
Let me tell you, Matt, teams that are constructed like that do it better than you, meaning you're not one of those teams anymore. You're not one of those teams. If you play another team that is skill or a little more wide open, I think you can outbattle them. Like, I don't think you suck at that, but you're not the elite. You're not the elite. If you face an elite team along the boards or in the corner or through the neutral zone, they will get the better of you.
Absolutely.
That's been established.
Yeah, the Bruins straddle the line now. And I get the logic. The idea is that, well, we're going to be big enough and tough enough to be able to handle the heavy teams and skilled enough to be able to handle the fast teams. So whatever style you want to play, we think we're going to win at it. And during the regular season, they do. But I think when the teams like the Islanders lock it down and really fight for pucks, I thought the Bruins got spanked in puck battles in this series.
Absolutely.
Particularly in front of both nets.
Well, down low for sure. And last night was egregious. But when you face one of these kind of teams, yep, they get you on it for sure. I think that's established. Nick in the truck. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Felger. I just got a question for you. Do you think this Bruins team with Cassidy working the refs and the roster being as soft as they are, this year. Does that remind you of the Montreal Canadiens system, like 10-12 years ago that we hated?
Yeah, I mean,
draft sucks.
A little bit. Well, the difference is Montreal generally gets good goaltending. The lobbying for calls, I thought it was worse against the Blues. When I say lobbying, I mean Cassie didn't pitch a fit like he did the other night. I thought the Bruins against the Blues a couple of years ago were flopping, like the Canadiens. They didn't drop nearly like that this year. So I don't know where you want me to go with that. Have we become the Canadiens? I don't know. Maybe with the worst goalie?
Oh, the fan base sounds like it sometimes.
Sure do. Tony in Boston. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, guys. I don't know why I was surprised. Same thing every year. I end up crying myself to sleep for the next 8 months until the season starts because most of the guys on our team are penises on trees. What's new?
So thanks for the call, Tony. We appreciate it. That's something Maz started that, as it should have, has taken hold.
Oh, yeah. No. It's a phenomenon now.
So
it seems like that's resonated more than Spoon. It does.
Mike Riley in his own zone is what, Maz?
He's a penis on a tree.
As useless as penis on a tree.
Useless.
It really, I still don't totally get it, but thank you.
I was going to give the punchline at the end.
Oh, I see. But thank you all there for all the pictures you've been sending of tree penises. It does exist. It's a thing.
I don't know how many of them are real.
I appreciate the pictures. Everything I've gotten, I thought was real.
I saw one that definitely wasn't.
Bob in the truck. Go ahead, Bob.
I mean, where do we really start? But, I mean, you've nailed all the points. All right. Riley in his own zone is atrocious. That giveaway, I know Tuukka threw it into his feet. He should have either dived on the puck, eaten it, taken a hit in the corner. He gives up the puck. Then he doesn't even slash the guy to take a penalty. I would have taken a penalty there over that goal any day of the week. And then Nick Ritchie, I mean, he goes basically in 2 weeks, he goes from the second line to the third line to the fourth line. We're in an elimination game. He's on the fourth line. He's probably our biggest player. Palmieri takes a pretty cheap shot at McAvoy. We don't do anything about it. I mean, if there was ever a time for that guy to fight, it was last night in the second period when we were down 2-1.
No doubt, Bob. And I think last night was an aberration. Generally, you respond. Generally, you're there for your teammates. You are. I mean, they're not that kind of team. They're not.
They were ready to golf.
Last night, they were ready to fold their tents, baby. That was last night. That was a disgrace. It's only game 6. What do you empty the bucket? Give yourself a chance at home in game 7? You weren't interested in that? Oh, my God. Like, that was glaring, too.
Maybe they already had tea times today.
Maybe they already had tea times. Like, I don't know, maybe like Tukes and Ritchie at Woodland, something like that?
Maybe. Or maybe like Pasternak and McAvoy at Granite Links.
Or maybe more than one. Yeah, maybe they had a couple of foursomes out there. Yeah.
You know, especially for the goalie, but maybe I'm not giving the team hard enough of a look. Like, I honestly think Rask is happier where he is now on the 6th at Woodland. And I think that's where he'd rather be than on the ice in a Stanley Cup playoff game. I honestly, truly believe that. That's not trolling and that's not me laying it on. I think he's honestly happier there than he is in the thick of it in a Stanley Cup playoff game and grinding his way through an 82-game season. Much happier there.
Of course, if I were their coach, I'd have made a tea time too. I think they suck.
But the rest of the guys, I don't know. Maybe I need to take a harder look at them too. But believe you me, no sweat off Tuukka's back today. He's just fine. Here's Jones' update. We're back with, we got to keep mixing it up before I get myself in trouble. Kemba Walker, the Kemba Walker trade rumors, and the Kemba Walker reporting the last couple days with the Celtics, and I think a big, as if they don't have enough problems as it is, but a big problem facing the Seas that isn't really their fault and is kind of unfair, but it's a big problem nonetheless. We'll get to that right after Jones's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. What do you want to talk about?
Mike and Framingham, what?
Felger and Maz.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, the Danny Ainge-led front office has been looking at possibilities of trading Kemba dating back to the end of last season's bubble experience. From what I'm told, the Ainge front office saw kind of the writing on the wall in a way with Kemba Walker when it came to this knee. Remember, the knee injury, which occurred, I believe, in late January of 2020, you know, was still lingering in the bubble. This is after months and months of being off. And I think the Celtics front office was looking for a way to get out from under that contract. They ultimately were not able to do it despite having conversations with multiple teams over the last several months. I was told they discussed a deal involving Kemba Walker and LaMarcus Aldridge when Aldridge was still in San Antonio, primarily because Aldridge was on the last year of his contract, whereas Kemba Walker has 2 years currently and about $76 million remaining on this contract. That frustrated Kemba Walker. Kemba is among the most loyal guys you're going to find in professional sports. Like, he would still be a Charlotte Hornet if Charlotte had stepped up to the plate during his free agency and made him the highest offer. It wasn't about going to Boston to chase a championship for Kemba. There was a lot more money on the table. So for Kemba to hear his name and understand his name was in trade rumors, that absolutely has frustrated him over the last 6 to 8 months.
Chris Mannix on NBC Sports Boston confirming a report that came out the other day in Bleacher Report that said sources said the Celtics and Kemba Walker are likely to move forward from their relationship this offseason in a mutual agreement between the parties. So the reporting is that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of how they're going to get it done. The report said that sources said the team will keep Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but Walker will be part of a organization-wide shakeup. And the feeling is mutual between Walker and the organization. Kemba Walker helped push the Celtics to Game 6 of the East Finals in 2020, but despite that success, Danny Ainge was ready to move on from him within the point guard's first year. Sources close to the Celtics revealed Ainge sought to trade Kemba Walker, and Drew Holiday was the target. So Mannix said Aldridge, Holiday in the offseason was obviously something that was rumored as well. Bleacher Report says a source close to Walker said he was hurt by Boston's efforts to trade him, which created a rift in the Walker-Ainge relationship. Walker has a great relationship with his teammates and looked forward to being a veteran mentor to Tatum and Brown. But the same can't be said about Walker and the front office. He no longer feels wanted. This, to me, is the key part of the story. One executive in the NBA said Kemba Walker isn't the only player to have those negative feelings toward Ainge, as players around the league have not trusted Celtics management during the Ainge era. And then they cite a famous example of Anthony Davis's father saying AD would never play here because of what Danny Ainge did to Isaiah Thomas. And there's obviously examples as well. So this is my point. I have no doubt the Celtics have this reputation. One question is, well, Ainge is gone. If Ainge is gone, why is Kemba Walker still one out? I thought Ainge was the problem. Do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, because it's not about Ainge. It's about Kemba's feelings being hurt and the players in that league having the power to do whatever they want. So, again, it's okay when the play and this part pisses me off, but it's the reality of the league. So it's okay when a player's on a bad team and he can force his way out and the team has to do it. But it's not okay when the team wants to trade a player? So the player gets to call all the shots then?
Well, but did they want to trade him, or was it a salary dump? LaMarcus Aldridge sounds like a legit salary dump.
So what?
1 year after you signed.
So what?
I understand that frustration. 1 year later?
Yeah, but again, they have the right to do whatever they want.
Doesn't mean every player does it, but yeah, there are many superstars in that league that force their way out regardless of where they are in their contract.
Right. Sure. My point is the players run the league, Pac-Man. So what, the teams aren't allowed to trade guys now if they sign you and
no,
you suck?
They can trade him. Just he has a right to be pissed about it. That's all.
Yeah.
And all-stars talk at all-star games and they talk to each other and then word gets around and now you've burned that bridge. So if Danny wants to do it, fine, go ahead. You can throw out Isaiah Thomas like yesterday's garbage after he got his teeth knocked out and played the day after his sister passed away. You can do it. You're allowed to, but there are repercussions to that. And now they're paying for it. And Danny maybe paid for it with his job.
And this is the impossible spot they're in. Danny did the right thing trading Isaiah Thomas.
Of course he did.
It was the absolute right thing to do, despite the sacrifices Isaiah Thomas made for the team. You have to do what's best for the organization. That wasn't a max contract player. You can't sign him to that kind of contract. And you thought you were getting a big upgrade in a Kyrie, and we know how that all turned out. Kyrie turned out to be the wrong guy. But Danny Ainge was doing what he thought was best for the team. But now that's being held against the team? That's an impossible spot. So now the next time, Jones, they have to reach into their pocket and sign a ridiculous max contract to a guy that doesn't deserve it just so other players will think they're nice?
No. But if you're going to do it, maybe you should commit to the guy for longer than, I don't know, a year. He was trying to trade him after 1 year.
So now you're talking about Kemba Walker.
Yes.
I was talking about Kyrie. I was talking about
Isaiah
Thomas.
No, not necessarily. Look, I didn't have a problem with that trade when they did it. But the way it was viewed around the league is different than just, you know, Celtic-centric upgrading your team.
I know. Isn't that unfair?
Yeah. So I think the people...
I don't know if it's unfair or not. Are they the only team that gets viewed that way in the league? I'm not sure about that.
So I think the people who should be agitated are the teams who think Ainge is trying to dump them with damaged goods. That I get. Like, oh, now you want to
trade... Cleveland.
Yeah. So now you want to trade him to us because you have damaged goods? Like, that I get. Now you're trying to deceive me. Okay, but the player... Come on. So what if it's 1 year in? I don't care if it's 5 months in.
I don't know about that. How often do we talk about coaches and you want to go to a stable organization and not some dumbass organization like the Jets that'll hire a new coach a year later or something? Like, it's the same thing.
It's part of the business, Pac-Man.
Well, I understand it's part of the business, but wouldn't you want to go somewhere where there's stability and not, oh, I'm signing there, I'm choosing to go there, and then 1 year later you're trading me? I don't think that's that crazy.
No, again, of course you want to go somewhere with stability. Yes, but that's a totally different argument.
Well, the thing is, you're both right. I mean, Maz is talking from just common sense running a team. You have to do what's right for your team. And Jones is looking at it from a player's perspective. And that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the issue. The perception among the players is real. They feel that way. They feel that way. When you're just doing what you think's right for your team. So how do you square the two? What are you supposed to do then? So wait a minute. I'm supposed to pay through the nose for Isaiah Thomas and turn down a really good trade because I don't want to upset him. And it looks bad because his sister died and he played through the playoffs with a bad hip or whatever. So I have to keep him. And now Kemba Walker's here, but we have a really good trade on the table to upgrade after 1 year. But I have to keep him because this is going to be a bad percent because people think we're mean.
I mean, that's crazy to me.
It's an impossible position. And half of me wonders...
Well, just sign the right guy in the first place. Don't sign the wrong... Don't pay Kemba Walker when he doesn't deserve a max contract. Then you didn't screw up.
So this is the thing. I think the Celtics are in deep trouble with perceptions across the league. This is now, in the last 2 years, this is how many max guys have come here, wanted to come here, and then didn't want to be here. Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, Kemba Walker. Like, everyone... Is there a guy left? Is there a guy you've paid who's left? Who stayed? Anyone you've given a real contract to, or certainly brought in from the outside, is wanted out. So what's the, you know? And I sort of get the sense like Danny Ainge has sort of become like the scapegoat. Like it's all Danny. Like they don't relate to Danny and Kemba Walker. You know, he's soured with Danny. And, you know, well, Dan's gone now, so all the problems are solved, right? Well, no, apparently Kemba Walker still wants out. So what is it? What's going on? This is another guy now. And, you know, when it was just one-off, you could always explain away Kyrie Irving because he's a freaking a-hole. And, he, you know, who knows what that guy's thinking. So fine, that's not our fault. But then Horford and then Gordon Hayward, who was like, if, like, that's the... perfect Celtic. It's like mini G Willikers. Like
the organization lied to Gordon Hayward.
In terms of what?
In terms of role on the team.
Oh, weird.
When he was coming back from injury, he thought he was going to be the one or two option. He ended up being the fourth or fifth option from this latest run of injury. And so he felt like, in my opinion, he felt like he was lied to by the organization.
So, like, I mean, so you got players from all ends of the spectrum. From of every stripe and type, you know, Al Horford is sort of the quiet, solid leader type that we all think. Again, that's just his reputation. I don't know what he really is as a guy, but he's sort of the silent, understated veteran leader. Kyrie's a freaking nut job. Gordon Hayward's a white guy from Indiana. Kemba Walker is a tough guy from New York City who wanted to be here, wants to be the guy. They all wanted to leave. So, like, you can't, there's no... There's an issue there. I don't know if anyone's going to, you know, finally put a name to that and figure that out. But there's an issue there.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving chased Horford off, by the way.
What's that?
Kyrie Irving chased Al Horford off. He was sick of Kyrie's act. So
he was gone.
He wanted to get out of here, and he would rather be in Philadelphia for a fake contract.
But Kyrie Irving was gone when Al Horford left.
I'll tell you, Horford to me is the most worrisome of the lot. Because the Hayward one, I half get. Like, I don't want to play behind those kids. I'm out of here. This whole thing has sucked since the time I got here. Kyrie was a pud. But Horford's a pro. Horford's a pro.
So, I mean, you all think that they're going to be able to lure guys here? Like, I mean, really, it is laughable, Jones, saying, now I'll take your snarkiness. Like, I argue this with Mike Holly every night on TV. It's like, what makes you think anyone who comes here for any money is leaving? And they all have their own individual excuses, but they're all leaving. So how are you going to get anyone to come here and stay here? You can't do it now. How are you going to do it going forward? You can blame Ainge? He's gone and Kemba Walker still wants to leave. So again, the story is that the relationship soured between Kemba Walker and Danny Ainge. Well, Danny Ainge is gone. Long gone.
So what's the relationship with Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker? Because Tatum played a role in Kemba's recruitment to the Boston Celtics. Has that changed? And is Mama Tatum now sick and tired of Kemba Walker?
So all I know is Ainge is gone and Kemba Walker still wants out. So you tell me what the story is there.
That's what I was asking. I was facilitating a conversation there.
Long commercial. Tatum's mother.
Long commercial free segment is next.
Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, Danny Ainge isn't in charge of the front office anymore. Now it's Brad Stevens. And we honestly, if we're candid about it, we don't know if he's going to keep all of Danny Ainge's guys under him. So does that change the dynamic for Kemba Walker, or has that relationship soured as well?
It's possible it could change things for Kemba. I think Brad Stevens throughout has been an advocate for Kemba Walker. And I also think that Brad Stevens on a different level has something of an understanding that trying to move off Kemba Walker, at least doing it after his first year, would not have been a great look for the franchise. I mean, you lure a player in on a 4-year contract, you tell him you're going to make him a part of what you're doing long-term, and then to trade him after 1 year, other free agents might notice that. Other free agents might say, look, I'm not going to go to Boston if they're just going to turn on and dump me after 1 year. Danny, as we've seen countless times before, is far more cold-blooded as a general manager. I think that Brad Stevens may have a stronger relationship with Kemba Walker that may impact that.
All right, Jones, softer touch from GM Williker, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine he's a little more mild-mannered than Danny, for sure. Magic Willikers, Kemba, you want to come back? We'll give you the basketball. You don't want to play every day? You don't have to play every day. Take some days off. Take your time. We'll manage you. It'll be great, you Willikers.
I just wonder if Danny Ainge being gone solves all those perception problems.
So you know what I just thought of listening to Mannix there? What if the reporting's all just behind on Kemba Walker? Don't we say that all the time?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, we're getting all this news now, but it's weeks behind. Well, Ainge just got fired. Now, that was in the process, you know, weeks and months before that, but I don't know. Maybe some of the stuff that's leaking out about Kemba now and his angst toward the organization was when Ainge was still here.
Yeah, or maybe players are just irrational and emotional, and he's still taking it out on the organization even though Ainge isn't there. So this is just my part of it. It's like, so the players can force their way out when they don't like the direction of the organization. Then the organization can independently try to trade them, and that pisses them off too.
Impossible spot for the team.
So it is. It's out of whack, and that league gets out of whack. Now, Pac-Man, I hear what you're saying.
Well, I would just say the Celtics aren't unique to that. That's all I would say. Like a lot of teams have that
problem. Right.
Well, but the teams that are destinations don't have to worry about it.
So that's true. And I'm not saying the Celtics have all their issues solved moving on from Ainge because, you know, they'll be nice to their players. I'm not saying that either. But It's not like they're on some island with this problem like a lot of teams have this
definitely
problem.
Not. So Miami can piss some players off and the Lakers can piss some players off.
Sure.
And the next little wave of players are going to say, no, I want to be a Laker. And I want to go to South Beach. So no one says that about Boston.
So maybe that's where the Celtics sin is, Jones. They act like they're a destination and they're not.
Oh, right. They think they're something they're not. Interesting.
So maybe that's where the real sin is. Hmm. Is that, again, they have an inflated sense of who they are and what they are. And the bottom line is right now, you have Jason Tatum. Kiss his ass. Kiss his ass. I'll bring the lipstick over if you want. Just let me know what shade. I'll pick it up at the CVS. I'll walk right in, the Maybelline section or whatever, Neutrogena. You tell me. I'll go over there. I'll grab a little lipstick for him, and they can all pucker up and kiss his ass because that's what they got to do.
So I'm telling you, Celtics and Celtics fans, all those banners, you think they mean something as opposed to the vast majority of one when it was an 8-team league and there were like 4 good players and you had 3 of them. No one cares about those. Knowing you're not what you think you are. So
no, you're the market where if you overpay a real small market team superstar and give them a max contract, they'll come here. But the real superstars don't want to come here.
That's right. So this reputation with the Celtics, again, they got to work their way out of this. And I don't think there's this is going to be an overnight thing. So I promise, to your phones on this, all the Bruins people are still here. We got the Patriots stuff and Mac Jones and the reps down there today. Jared Stidham stepping right into line today. Get ready for it, Jones. Get ready to see a lot of Jared Stidham this summer. 90 seconds, no commercials. Right back to your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.